we continue to examine the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, I really wish that I could have rearranged the order so that I could have asked Stephen to preach about this one, patience. I've never been good at waiting, but I have gotten less patient, I think, as I've gotten older. And maybe that's because I now have a greater sense of how quickly time moves. Whatever the reason, I often find myself looking anxiously at my watch or tapping my fingers, kind of like some of you do during the sermon, when I'm forced to wait. Waiting for an appointment, waiting at a stoplight, even waiting for water to boil so I can cook. All of these things raise my blood pressure. And even in the midst of fun, I'm impatient. A long line at an amusement park ride, and I'm not sure it's worth the wait. Or a rain delay at a baseball game, and I am ready to move on to the next thing. Am I the only one who has trouble with waiting? I heard something back here. Yeah, I don't think I am. And really, that lack of patience isn't unique to our time either. Many of Paul's letters, including the letter to the Philippians that we just heard Jenny read for us, have a message about waiting and about patience. Maybe because Paul needed that reminder for himself, too. He reminds the Philippians in our passage today that the day of Jesus is coming and that they should stop worrying because they already have everything they need to make it to that time. This patience that Paul calls us to is sometimes called long-suffering. It holds the idea of bearing with difficult circumstances or people with love and grace. It's what we need when we or someone we love is suffering under a long injustice. Patience is the part of the fruit of the Spirit that allows us to press on steadily, following God's path as we wait on the kingdom of God to be fully realized. Patience is what allows us to act with love, to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. And exhibiting this kind of patience can be arduous. It takes work and effort and prayer. So what does life look like when we're bearing the fruit of patience? It means that we are patient with others the way God is patient with us. Each Sunday, we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And it's a reminder of God's long-suffering nature. We deserve for God to rain down judgment and wrath, but instead, God's patient love restores, saves, reconciles, transforms. And when we are patient, we make a choice to be like God. Instead of the course we were planning to take, one that would feel good to us in the moment, that might result in suffering for others or ourselves, we follow this other course for the sake of Christ and for God's love for the world. That means that rather than looking for the fastest way through, we live in God's time, with faith that God will complete what God has started, not just in us, but in the people around us, even the ones who annoy us. Like all that other fruit that we've been talking about, patience can seem unattainable, maybe more so than any of the others. But remember, this is the fruit of the Spirit. It's being grown in us, not by our efforts, but by our submission to Jesus and his work in our lives and our hearts. That's what Paul means in this text when he says, "The one who started a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." We don't follow God through our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' gift to us. And it's this Spirit that our passage tells us will stay with us to complete the work God has begun in us
through us.
The early Christians were eagerly looking forward to Christ's return, to the day of Christ Jesus, as Paul writes. And the good news that Paul shared with them all those years ago is just as true for us today, because we are not only waiting on God and for God, we are also waiting with God. Have you noticed when you're waiting on something that it's a lot less tedious if someone else is waiting with you? Having a friend to talk with as you wait for your name to be called in the doctor's office eases that tension. Or sharing your hopes with a coworker about a plan at work can add to your joy and excitement while you wait for it to come to fruition. Waiting, like so many other things in life, is something that is often best endured in the company of others. And that's what's so reassuring for me about these verses, because we are not waiting hopelessly in this world for the coming of Christ. Instead, we've been given all that we need for the journey. All God's gifts are right in front of us as we wait. And more importantly, our faithful God is with us as we wait. He will complete the good work begun in us. Through the gift of the Spirit, God offers us company to make the wait easier. After all, the one who called us and claimed us is Emmanuel, God with us. And when we grab hold of that promise, it's easier to be patient in suffering and in joy. So Tim, when we go on mission trips and someone asks, are we there yet? Or how much longer? What is our answer every time?
5 more minutes.
If you have traveled with our youth or children or on one of our mission trips, you know that that is our set answer to the question, how much longer? Always laughingly replying, 5 more minutes. It began as a joke to prevent constant questioning, to avoid the frustration of actually having to answer that question every 5 minutes. But it's become a lot more. I mean, we all know that 5 more minutes is only accurate one time during a trip. But it's become a little bit of a shorthand for, I know waiting is hard, but hang in there, we'll be there soon. We're all in this together. And that's the kind of patience that the Spirit wants to grow in us. Active, empathetic, long-suffering patience that knows we are not alone, that waits for God to work in us rather than rushing ahead. It's patience that comes not through our own efforts, but through our reliance on God's Spirit. And the only way we gain that patience is by relying on God's Spirit, by asking God to grow patience in us. Each day this summer, I've been asking you to pray a prayer that the fruit of the Spirit will be grown in you. And we pray it at the end of the sermon each week as well. It's written in your bulletin so that you can take it home with you and be able to pray it each day. At this point, all these days in, you may have it memorized. Will you pray it one more time? Heavenly Father, we pray this day that we may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, we pray this day we may take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, we pray this day you will fill us with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in our life. Love, joy, peace,